When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. The first pilgrims who made their way to Jerusalem would have felt that perhaps it was a day that they would never have seen before. They weren't coming back to a city that was already in good condition. They came back to build, most of them. They'd spent 70 years, some of them would have spent less than that, because they'd been born in a country that was not their own. And they thought this day would never come. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And there's a sense of abject joy that comes out of these songs as well. And I thought it might be worth thinking about the last time you felt that sense of sort of just complete and utter joy. In its most extreme form, I don't suppose it comes to many of us more than 3 or 4 times in a lifetime, maybe a little bit more than that, when something you've waited for and you thought would never happen, or you had wondered whether it would ever happen, that suddenly comes true for you. And it's not so much a fist-pumping, yelling-out time, is it? It's just that you feel in a bit of a daze, in a bit of a dream, because something has happened. I was trying to think about something in my life that might be like that, and there are several of them. I'm going to choose one example. When I was about 8 years old, I would go to a communion service on a Sunday evening. My parents lived in the Middle East, and so the day off was Friday, not Sunday. And so we had our sort of gospel service like this on a Friday night. And then on a Sunday evening, after people came back from work, we held a small communion service in the local church that the fellowship owned. And then after that, we'd drive, my dad, sometimes my mum, would drive with some of the other missionaries from the town that we lived in to another town that was about 12 miles away, a town called Sharjah. And we'd drive there. And of course, in the Middle East, you don't have long days or short days. You just have days, basically. And they always get dark sometime around 6 o'clock in the evening, and they get light sometime around 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's about roughly what the days do. And so as we travel after the communion service for an 8 o'clock service in Sharjah, it was almost always dark when we were heading out there, and it was certainly dark when we would come back. And I'd sit in the back seat, my dad or maybe one of the other missionaries would be driving, and the road was just a normal two-way road, no street lights, dark, and very, very straight and long desert either side, and occasionally a car would come in the opposite direction. Not many cars would come along. And of course, you'd have your beams up full, and then you would switch your beams down to dipped headlights. And one of the things that used to worry me, and you'll appreciate that I probably didn't worry about the same things everybody else did, but if you think back to the things that you were worrying about when you were 8 or 9, or if you are 8 or 9, they're probably not the things that everybody else thinks that you're worrying about at 8 or 9. And one of the things I used to worry about was whether I would ever drive a car. And I thought I could handle most bits of it because I knew about automatics, and there may be some of you who are still wondering when I'm going to learn to drive a car. But it was something that sort of worried me because the button for dipping the headlights, you had to operate with your foot in those cars. I don't know whether you remember what cars were like in the 60s, but there was a little button that you operated with your left foot when you switched the cars to dipped. And I knew that I might be able to manage an automatic, but I would never be able to flick a switch with my left foot, because it's artificial. And this worried me, and I used to think, you know, could I get by driving on dipped headlights the whole time? And all kinds of things, you know, used to worry me about driving a car one day. And then one day, a charity, when I was about 17, a charity came along and offered to buy me my first car. And as part of that, I had to go and be assessed. And the assessment center, the guy there, he wanted to put lots and lots of equipment in this car to sort of very tailor it very, very much to me. And I didn't want a lot of stuff in the car because I didn't want to just drive one car. I wanted to be able to drive any car I wanted to. And he decided that there was about 700 quid's worth of stuff to be put into this Ford Escort. And I was thinking, no, I don't really want that. But he was the expert. But fortunately, although he was an expert, he wasn't particularly literate and he didn't take any notes as to what it was. So when the car arrived, he'd forgotten about everything that he decided should go into this car. And he said, well, I suppose we should put a loop on the steering wheel and maybe that'll be about it. That was pretty much all that he did. He did a special adaptation to the key, which broke after a couple of years, and I never bothered with that anymore. And so again, you know, another hurdle overcome. And then I found myself taking driving lessons and then taking my first test. And I had so many hopes riding on this test, and I failed. And that was a horrible, horrible day. I remember starting to make a speech that is just, you know, Ricky Gervais couldn't have written a more embarrassing or squirming sort of speech. And I just felt terrible about it. And it wasn't just that. I'd managed to fail my first test at university. And at Birmingham, they had fails and bad fails. And I managed to get a bad fail in my first class test. And it was even worse than that because the lecturer made a joke about one of the answers. And I was sitting at the back and I was thinking, oh, that was my answer. That's why I got that bit wrong. And so it was just a horrible, horrible time. And for those of you who know me, you might be amused to find out that one of the reasons I failed was emerging without due regard for oncoming traffic. And it's something that has probably bugged me for most of my life since then. And then I sat a second test, and the same driving instructor came out and got in next to me. And I thought, oh, no. And it's only sort of about 20 or 30 years later that I probably realized that he was thinking exactly the same thing for other reasons. Only this time, when he got to the end, he said, I'm really pleased to tell you that you've passed your test. And he gave me a certificate and he wrote the stuff out and I went off. And that afternoon, that evening, I went to see some friends and I could go when I wanted to go. I didn't have to arrange for a lift or for anything else. And I had that sense of just completely being in a dream world. I don't think I was in that much of a dream world. I didn't hit anything or anything terrible happened. The story is really a good news story all the way through. I got to the end and I was finally at 19, something that had bugged me for more than a decade of my life. I had a license and I could go wherever I wanted to. I've only written off one car in the 30-odd years since then, and by and large, things have gone rather well. And there's a sense of that happiness, that just totally bewildered happiness that these people express. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. It was like a dream coming true. And that's something that we can be called, that we can share in as we think about the results of what Jesus has done for us. I don't think very often that we realize what a wonderful thing forgiveness is, to be completely and utterly forgiven. And that's the deal that he offers us, to not have that sense of guilt hanging on the whole time. Things that may have been around for a long time and we think, will I ever be free of them? And for some people it comes in a flash and they're free. And for other people it takes a long time to really enjoy the freedom and the gratuitous joy of being fully forgiven and fully free. And that's also part of what we have to do this morning, is to give back that sense of thanks to God for what he's done for us.